Hey everybody, Pastor Stephen Anderson here from Faith Forward Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. And today I'm going to talk about the most famous verse in the Hebrew Bible, Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's what it says in the King James Bible. But when the Jews quote this in English and other European languages, they'll say it as, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And then now modern versions of the Christian Bible, such as the New American Standard, the ESV, the NIV, are rendering this as the Jews of today do, saying the Lord is one, instead of saying it as the King James, which is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Okay, so the Jews have tried to make this a statement about the oneness of God. Because obviously they don't believe in the Trinity, they don't believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So they've made this a statement about God's oneness. The Lord is one. Whereas the King James is saying, the Lord our God is one Lord, meaning that there is only one Lord. There's none other beside him. Just talking about the fact that there's only one Jehovah. There's only one God, not multiple. Okay. So anyway, I'm going to break this down in the original language to show you that the King James has got this right and the modern versions have got it wrong. And then I'm going to show where the quotation from the New Testament in Mark chapter 12 proves beyond any shadow of a doubt that the King James has got this right and the modern versions are wrong. So let's start out with the Hebrew verse itself and break this down. It starts out, Shema Yisrael, which is where this takes its name. You'll sometimes hear this called the Shema, or the Shema Yisrael is what they'll just call this phrase as a whole. So it says, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Okay. Now, you'll notice I'm saying Adonai. Okay. I'm not saying the tetragrammaton here as Jehovah, or as these modern versions will do it, Yahweh or whatever. Basically, when you come across this divine name here, the four-letter name of God, Yod He Vav He, also known as the Tetragrammaton, this will appear in our King James Bible as Lord in all capital letters, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Okay. So when you're reading the Bible in Hebrew, sometimes there's what's called the Ketiv and the Karei. And what that basically means is, there's that which is written, Ketiv, and that which is read, Karei, okay? And so in this case, what is written is the Tetragrammaton, but when you read it, you don't pronounce the Tetragrammaton, you actually instead pronounce the word Lord, Adonai, okay? So you would read this as Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. That's why in the New Testament, Jesus and all the apostles, when they quote Old Testament scriptures, they always use the Greek word for Lord, Kyrios, because Adonai is being translated as Kyrios. Okay, so anyway, I don't want to go into a big thing on that because that's not the purpose of this video. But what we see here, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Here's what this would literally break down to, okay? Shema Yisrael is here, Israel, the command to hear, the command to listen. Hear, O Israel. This is Adonai, the Lord, Eloheinu, our God. You might be familiar with the term Elohim, right? So this is Eloheinu, our God. The Enu ending is the our. So Adonai, Eloheinu, Adonai, Echad, the Lord, our God. And then over here we have Lord, one. Okay, so Echad is the number one, okay? So if you were counting, you know, Echad, Shnaim, Shalosh, this is what you would use, Echad. It's just a basic number one. There's nothing special about it. It doesn't have some special hidden meaning or anything like that. I've heard some people say weird things about that. So it's just the number one, basically. Now, here's what you have to understand, though, about the number one. When you are talking about the number one as an adjective modifying a noun, like if I wanted to say, you know, for example, I have one son and one daughter. Okay, if I were to say that in Hebrew, I would say, Yesh li ben echad v'bat achat. So notice I'm putting the number one after the noun. So I have ben echad, that's one son, literally son one. So I would say, Yeshli ben echad ve bat achat. Bat achat, that's one daughter, but it's literally daughter one. So the number one, when you're using it as an adjective, modifying a noun, it comes after the noun it modifies, okay? So in this case, what we have here, what the King James is translating is Adonai Echad, as in one Lord, okay? Just like we say Bat Achat, Ben Echad, Yom Echad. So it's basically one Lord. So the way the King James is translating this is the Lord our God is one Lord, okay? Now you say, well, where's the word is? Why is there no is here? Here's the thing. Hebrew does not typically use the word is in a statement like this, okay? Like, for example, if I were just saying Hebrew, I'm here, I would just say ani po, I here. If I want to say he is there, there's no is. It's just hu sham. So you don't typically use the word is, okay, in Hebrew. It's just understood. You don't need it, okay? So basically, in English, when you would translate this, you're going to have to insert the word is, because, you know, we don't do sentences in English that don't have a verb, okay? So basically, if we're going to say Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, we have to put is somewhere. So where the King James is putting is right here, okay? So this is where the is would go. So we're basically saying, the Lord our God is Adonai Echad, one Lord. And the number one follows, as is the normal grammar. Okay. What the modern versions are doing is they're putting the word is right here. Okay. So this is what the ESV and the New American Standard and the NIV are doing. They're putting the is, it's what the Jews are doing. They're putting the is over here. So the way that they're basically reading this is they're reading it as the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Okay. Now here's what doesn't make any sense about that, is that that would make these two Lords redundant here, okay? Because if you just wanted to say the Lord our God is one, you could say that, right? Why would you say the Lord our God, the Lord is one? This would be an awkward repetition or redundancy that is totally unnecessary to say Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. You would just say Adonai Eloheinu Echad. If you wanted to say that. Of course, God didn't want to say that. This is what God wanted to say. He wanted to say, the Lord our God is Adonai Echad, one Lord. Okay. So who's right here? You know, is the King James right? Or are the new versions and the Christ-rejecting Jews right over here? Okay. Well, here's the thing. Theoretically, both of them are grammatically possible. Although, like I said, this is an awkward repetition here, and it's redundant and doesn't seem to make sense the way that they're interpreting it. But you could theoretically get either or grammatically. You could put the is here or you could put the is there. So then, you know, the next thing that I wanted to look at was what's called the cantillation, okay? And cantillation, this is from the same root word as like Spanish, cantar, which, you know, most people who've studied any basics of Spanish know the word cantar means to sing. Or you might have heard the word canticles. Sometimes the Song of Solomon could be called canticles. So the cantillation are accent marks in the Hebrew Bible telling you how this is to be sung or how this is to be recited, okay? So instead of like in Greek where you just have three different types of accent marks, or in Spanish where you have one type of accent mark, in Hebrew, you'll literally have like 20-some different accent marks that are called the cantillation marks about how this is to be sung, okay? So if we look at the cantillation marks, just because I'm trying to leave no stone unturned in this video, okay? If we look at the cantillation marks, we'll see an extremely common pattern here, which is called the sof pasuk pattern, which means end of verse pattern. Sof, end, pasuk, verse. Now this right here, at the end of every Hebrew verse, this little set of two vertical dots, that's called a sof pasuk, because it's the end of the verse, okay? But also, this entire four-word phrase right here, when you have this exact series of cantillation marks, okay, where you have basically this cantillation mark right here, which is the mercha, and then you have it followed by Tifcha Mercha Siluk. So when you have that exact series of Mercha Tifcha Mercha Siluk, that four-word phrase is called a Sof Pasuk. Okay. Here's the thing about that. Okay. That tells us nothing about the meaning here, whether the is goes here or the is goes there. It isn't relevant. This is not a cantillation that would tell us something about the meaning. Okay, this is not shedding any light on it. In fact, this is the exact same cantillation that you find at the end of Genesis 1:1, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, Bereshit bara Elohim. Okay, and then get to the last four words, et hashamayim, the et ha'aretz. It's this exact same cantillation, mercha, tifcha, mercha, saluk. So what does that mean? It's talking about how to recite it, how it sounds. So basically the way that it's going to sound is exactly the way Genesis 1:1 is going to sound. You're going to say it with that musicality of et hashamayim ve et ha'aretz, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. But it tells us nothing about the meaning in this case, okay? Because you do have some accents in the Hebrew Bible in the cantillation marks that are disjointive or conjunctive accents and stuff. But this is not a disjunctive, conjunctive situation that's going to tell us something about the relationship of these words. This particular phrase, the Sof Pasuk, only has to do with pronunciation, okay? Now, we also have a vertical line right here, which also only has to do with pronunciation. This vertical line right here is basically telling us not to run these two words together, but to pronounce them distinctly, to say Adonai Echad, because, you know, we're ending with a vowel, starting with a vowel, and we want to make sure that we give both of these words their proper, clear pronunciation. So the cantillation marks are not relevant for this particular discussion. So where does that leave us? You know, do we put the is here like the King James, or do we put it here like the Jews? Well, let's go to the New Testament, okay? And you say, well, the Jews aren't going to accept the New Testament. Right, but the editors of the New American Standard, NIV, and ESV, they believe the New Testament, supposedly. So therefore, you know, this should mean something to them when we go to Mark chapter 12. Now, when we look at Mark chapter 12, where this is quoted by Jesus, I've written the words on the board, Kyrios o Theos imon, Kyrios eis esti, okay? This right here is saying, Lord, our God, Lord, one is, or one Lord is. Okay. So again, it's actually worded exactly the same as the Hebrew. And just like the Hebrew, it could technically go either way grammatically. You know, there's no way to look at this and just say, hey, case closed, because it basically is just giving us the exact same thing as the Hebrew. It's not shedding any new light on it. Okay. But here's what's interesting. A few verses later, Jesus' audience, the young man that asked him about this, he responds to Jesus and interprets this, and Jesus puts his stamp of approval on this man's interpretation. And if we look at the interpretation, it does shed light on it. Okay, let me read it for you in English from the King James, and you'll see what I mean. So it starts out in verse 28 of Mark 12, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? So one of the scribes come and ask him, and Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, so let's get the scribe's answer. This is what's going to shed light on the meaning. Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. So what is the scribe's interpretation of this statement? His interpretation is, yeah, there's one God, and there's none other but he. Now, if you take the King James rendering, the Lord our God is one Lord. Not multiple gods, not multiple Jehovahs, not this Jehovah and that Jehovah, this Lord, that Lord, this God, that Lord. No, that there's one Lord and that there's none other beside him. Not about the oneness of God, as the Jews would have us to believe. And as you'll hear, the oneness Pentecostals, you know, go to Deuteronomy 6:4 in their false versions and try to make that point, okay? No, what we see here is that his interpretation is there's one God. That's what Deuteronomy 6:4 is teaching, that there's one God and there is none other but he, and to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Watch this. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions. So Jesus saw that he answered him discreetly. Okay, discretion, discreetly. This is saying that he had answered wisely. He had answered well. The Greek word that is translated by the King James discreetly, nunechos, has that idea of being wise, having understanding, answering discreetly. This is a good answer. So Jesus Christ sees this as a good answer. The author of the book of Mark, the Holy Ghost, says this was a good answer. Jesus says, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Why did he say that? Because he saw that he had answered discreetly, wisely. He had answered well. And if we look at the way he interpreted this, he's interpreting it with the exact idea that the King James is giving, with the exact right understanding. Because folks, if this is all about the oneness of God, well, that's going to contradict Genesis chapter 1, when it says, you know, let us make man in our image. God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We believe in the Trinity. The Bible teaches the Trinity. So, you know, this whole oneness thing is a false doctrine anyway, okay? Now, true, you could read the NIV, ESV, or New American Standard and interpret it the way that the guy in Mark interpreted it as, well, you know, when it says the Lord is one, it's just saying that there is only one, okay? I get that. But the Jews are interpreting it as being about the oneness of God. Oneness Pentecostals are using this to try to say that the Trinity is wrong. The King James is giving a more accurate translation, putting the is here where it belongs. The Lord our God is one Lord. Okay. Adonai Echad. So we see here again in Mark chapter 12, the quotation. Is esti Theos, ke uk estin alos plinaftu. This is what the guy says. This is the, you know, discreet answer, wise answer that he gives. Hey, it's true that there's one God. Oti is esti Theos, ke uk estin alos plin aftu. Uk estin alos plin aftu means that there is not another besides him. Okay, there is no other God besides him. That's what Deuteronomy 6:4 is actually getting at. Here's the quotation where Jesus is quoting from the Hebrew, Kyrios o Theos imon. Okay, Lord, our God, o Theos imon. This taken together means our God. Okay, Kyrios o Theos imon, Kyrios is esti. It's saying that he is one Lord. Just like here it's Kyrios is, here it is Adonai Echad. And then this, the Greek actually has the word is, but the word is thrown at the very end of the sentence. So again, it doesn't tell us whether to put it here or here, okay? So just to summarize everything, just a quick last minute summary here. Look, either one is grammatically possible, but there are two reasons why the new versions are totally wrong and why the Jews are getting this wrong. Reason number one is because of the fact that it is an awkward and redundant repetition to say, the Lord our God, comma, the Lord is one. That's a weird redundancy of the word Lord. If they wanted to say that, it could just be the Lord our God is one. You wouldn't say the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Redundant. Okay, that's reason number one. Reason number two is that the scribe in Mark chapter 12 interprets this back to Jesus, and Jesus approves of his interpretation, and his interpretation fits the way the King James has translated it. That's the correct interpretation. Anyway, I hope this video is helpful. God bless you. Have a great day.